This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man, John Lopez, Reginald Atitula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Let's try not to be asinine today, yeah. My friend.
I'm asinine. That? He's asinine.
Again, appreciation to DNM Autolisa for that crosstalk with the fellas, where I feel like Seth was...
Go ahead. You said you look like you wanted to say something.
No, I wanted to. Reggie's always cleaning up my mess.
It's all good.
Sponsor reads.
Trust me.
Best teammate ever.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not.
Like some asinine people.
I am absolutely not. But look, we will do our best anyways. That's all we can do. I feel like Seth is hitting on all cylinders like at the end of the show to the point where I'm like, man, it feels like he needed some more time today. I'm not going to make him do that, but it feels like he's still got some more to go. All right, get involved with the program. As always, 713-572-4610. We appreciate it when you do that. Also, appreciation to the Mokerum Injury Lawyers for the live stream, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. Hey, man, we were pretty negative talking about the Astros yesterday. They were in a little bit of a bad space, but they finished out a little road trip with a victory in Milwaukee, a resounding one, 9-1, in fact. And part of that was when they got up to a 3-1 lead early on the game, and we were watching that as the game had started towards the end of our show. You saw Jeremy Peña go yard, a nice 3-run blast in there. And, I mean, especially since he's found, or since, Jose Altuve had him step into that role of the leadoff as opposed to Altuve leading off. It's been really good for him. Mm-hmm. Like he has OPS in the 900s in that 10 game stretch. Of course, small sample, but still, it's clear that's been an uptick on top of what has been a pretty good start for him. Generally, he's been probably at this point the most consistent player for the Astros.
Everyday players, he's the MVP
as of right now.
Right.
I think
Jake Meyer's second.
I was like, we got to give it up for Jake.
Yeah, Jake Meyer's second, but I think he's the MVP. And you say that I saw him, that you saw him, you said it generically, hit the 3-run home run. I actually did not. We were sitting here, you and I were, I think we were transitioning to this side
probably.
Of the table, and I look up and you said, whoa, it went from 3-1 to 6-1 just like that.
Yeah.
Without even looking, I said, Jeremy Peña, 3-run blast? The reason I said that, without even knowing that he did it, is because Jeremy Peña was coming up, and Jeremy Peña is the best player on this team, the best everyday player on this team. Shout out to Hunter Brown.
As of right now, right, especially because Yordan has had a little bit of a rough stretch, which it feels like we could probably try and attribute to that hand injury that he is now on the IL for. I mean, we've talked about Altuve. There's been a little bit of a rough stretch here. And, I mean, what's up, PC? I do feel like also we did talk about some of the other reasons that might be factoring in as opposed to just, like, the age of it all, right? The idea of having these other things that he's now – adding some of his mental responsibilities towards or what have you. And, of course, sometimes a cold stretch is just a cold stretch during a baseball season. But, I mean, with all that being said, it does feel like Jeremy Peña has been delivering in a way that we've been kind of clamoring for to some degree to see the more of his offense and in a way that they really need from someone, anyone, and hopefully more people. Is that inherently is it a good thing or a bad thing if he remains the best player on this Astros team for an extended period of time?
That's the question. 713-572-4610. Is it good that Jeremy Peña is the best player on this squad? And I think there's a lot of reasons to say that it is good, but there might be some that you might want to consider, that's not so good. But let's go with why I think it's good that Jeremy Peña is the best player on this team. This team is transitioning. I mean, I don't think that's deniable. You know, Bregman's gone. Whew, boy, Shout out to Alex Bregman. But we won't talk about that right now. I'm sure that's coming. Bregman's gone. Tucker's gone. Fromber, who knows where what his future is. You know, obviously, we know the other players that have left. This Altuve might be aging.
All right, we probably shouldn't lean so much in there. I get what PC was saying. Like, I think he had some good points, right? Yeah. Give Jose Altuve the benefit of the doubt, especially because you've seen it happen time and time again. I get that. Like, I'm not. I get where he's coming
like
from.
I felt like we were giving them the benefit.
We were.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Stay tuned for confessions.
Okay. Very good.
And save that audio. All right. So he's the face of the transition. I think Jeremy Peña, you know, he's the guy that went from that squad, MVP, you know, in the ALCS and the World Series, but he was the young buck. He was the rookie. So he's the guy that went through that, and now you got some Zach DiCenzo action happening. You got some Cam Smith action happening. You know, so he's sort of – I think it's good that you are literally transitioning from that generation to the next generation and the guy that has been sort of the, you know, the connecting rod between the two eras is the best player. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, as – very anecdotally evidenced and really not all that pertinent to the baseball of it all, but like you look at the HEB ads and that man is front and center. Like, I think that is one of the very evident ways that you look at that connection. But also, it feels like proof of concept, or at least establishing proof of concept, or more of that, considering this feels like the Jeremy Peña that you got at the end of what was that? The
2022
season into the postseason that ends up being a MVP, right? Like, I think that those are, like, this is the type of player that you knew was in there and that you've been kind of hoping to see more of, and you're seeing it come out in a better way. Like, I think that is, I mean, he's been literally for his career using OPS Plus as just kind of a catch-all, understanding the, you know, the places where that might lack. But just as a catch-all, OPS Plus normalizes at 100, and what do you think his career average or his career OPS Plus is?
What is it?
It is 100. Like, he has been offensively a decidedly average player. This year he's a 120 OPS Plus. Mm-hmm. Like, this was the stuff that you were hoping to see, especially because, you know, defensively, he is a damn good shortstop, right?
Well, that's the other part, yeah.
And so, like, seeing the offense come along to some degree, and of course, again, we want to see it happen for a longer period than just what, about a tenth of the season or what have you.
22%,
or I guess
don't ask me how I know
with the
that.
Entirety of this man went and did the math. I'm proud of you for about a fifth of the season, right? That's good, and I think that is encouraging to see from a guy like Peña as you continue forward, and as you said, for the connective portion of this, like I'm happy about that, especially because again, you've seen high level players move out of this organization for like time and time again. In fact, like you've done it with Springer, you've done it with obviously, I was about to say Springer again. Now Bregman, and you saw it with Correa, right? Like we all know the names.
Yeah.
And every time you've had someone else be able to step up and more into that role, and it's good to see that continue, because it's starting to feel like you did not have as many candidates to step up into that role, and Jeremy Peña was a prime one. It feels like, at least early on, that he's doing
that. Let me give you another couple of reasons I think it's a good thing that he's the best player on this team, and then we have to address maybe a couple where it'd be a red flag.
Sure.
He's on a rookie contract. Yeah, I mean, he can help the Astros make decisions in other places. You know, they have control with Jeremy Peña. So some of these other decisions, maybe Fromber, maybe something else, maybe acquisitions, maybe, you know, it plays into other things. You know, the fact that you have a guy like that playing the best baseball of the everyday players and he's in control, that's a good thing. And then the last reason I think it's a good thing.
And I just wanted to make it clear.
Yeah.
Two more years of arbitration. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you avoided arbitration this year, but two more years of control with Peña.
So, and then the last reason is a very here and now reason. Without Jeremy Peña, they might be in a free fall. I mean, they might be in the midst of a free fall without him right now, just because we know what the offense is. We know how they haven't scored a lot more than three runs in the vast majority of their games. They need Jeremy Peña just to kind of stay above water right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just in general, you need anybody who's going to step into that offensive space. And yes, it's good that, I mean, even Jake Myers has stepped somewhat into that offensive space, and that's been helpful. But yes, Jeremy Peña being able to do that, especially because one of the things tying back to the Altuve conversation that the fellows were having just a second ago and that we jumped in on is you're seeing there's fewer guys to be protection around those kind of tentpoles that have been there. And Yordan, who when he's going and who you hope is going here relatively soon, is one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous hitter in baseball. Well, yeah, of course, if there's not protection around him, teams are going to opt to not you know, not see him, not give him the benefit or the opportunity to hurt them. And having more guys, and of course, I don't know how much the protection is going to stand if he's leading off, but like more guys in the lineup that make it difficult on opposition, that's going to be incredibly helpful.
No, go ahead.
But yeah, I think you were going exactly where I was, which I am interested in how you would then look at this as potentially a bad thing.
Not so good. Not so good thing. What's the Astros standard year in, year out right now? It's playoffs and beyond, right?
That's what it has been.
That's what it's been. It's playoffs and beyond. So the potentially not so good thing is if Jeremy Peña is the anchor on this team, that's a problem. Because you still have Yordan. You still have Altuve. You brought in Christian Walker and Isak Paredes, and that does not bode well for living up to the standard. Like Jeremy Peña, this guy is playing his ass off right now, but he shouldn't be the anchor of the entire team, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think he's built for that. Like, and I think I understand what you're saying, that like as of right now, it feels like he's been playing the best. Mm-hmm. I think that when things normalize, and I will use the word when because I'm going to operate in a hopeful space, he won't be that because Yordan should be the guy that is the most dangerous. He exists in that spot, your three-hole hitter and everything, to have that level of danger. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a couple other guys who Isak has been solid, but Christian Walker you haven't even gotten. I don't think you've scratched the surface on what you were expecting when you gave him 3 years, $60 million, right? It was the idea for him to be another guy that helps you. And then, of course, Jose Altuve is the ever-present kind of guy that you expect to be some level of danger to opposition. And those guys are going to need to like raise the level. And those are the guys that we've looked at that have been like, oh, this feels there's been slumps here, and they have not been able to produce quite yet. Those are the guys that you hope are playing above or at least around where Jeremy Peña is, where at the very least it's not as clear that he is kind of leading the charge here, that there is a group of guys, especially because you have some instances with some younger guys that you're hoping to protect and give some runway to find themselves at this major league level. And so, yeah, man, those are the guys that need to be there. And right now it feels like Jeremy Peña is kind of trying to hold the line. It is nice that you are holding the line right about 500 with this team right now. But, yes, you're right. Like, this can't be the case for a long period of time. And you can't have Jake Myers be the next guy that you're speaking of in those instances
too.
As well.
That's absolutely true, too. Yeah, there's just too many variables that could go bad if one, or, and if you want to throw Jake Myers in there, two players – that aren't expected to be, you know, the fearsome players on in your lineup if they're anchoring everything. And then the other thing is only sort of nominally related. How different would we feel? How different would it look in the standings if you had been able to keep Alex Bregman right now?
Well, I mean,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
he's killing it.
That feels very evident.
He's killing it right
Although,
now.
Do people feel like he has had a better start because he's not here in Houston? Yeah. Like, is there a feeling that the Houston atmosphere is part of what the kind of slow starts that you had seen from him was? Because I mean, obviously there's no way to prove that negative or what have you. But yeah, man, it feels like, especially with how slowly Christian Walker started, and you could see the frustration that he had. It took a second for Isak Paredes to really get to a place where it felt like you were getting some of what you were expecting from him. Mm-hmm. We talk about that protection, having those other guys, like being able to give opposing teams difficulty in how they're going to attack hitters.
Yeah,
that hasn't been there nearly as much. So no, that would actually change this. I think also, one of the things that maybe you could say is a negative about this is, do you feel like this is close to the top end of what you're going to get from Peña as well?
I kind of do, but that's not to criticize.
No. Yeah, and I think I'd be 100%
that's
good
kinda
with
like
this.
A texter just said, you guys are asinine. I get what you're doing there.
Word of the day, baby.
Yordan needs to be the best player on this team. Yeah, I said that. I mean, when Jeremy Peña is the anchor, that's a problem. So it's not a criticism because he's killing it, but it's a problem if he's your guy.
Yeah, and my point ultimately being, like, how much more do you think he could wring out of this, or do you think that, like, we're running largely at high gear here? And I think that's the other thing where you go, yeah, everybody else needs to kick it in there because, again, baseball is a season of ups and downs, and it feels like it's really up for Peña.
Yeah.
I think you get what the other part, the next part of that sentence ultimately
by default.
Right. And so, yes, you definitely need some more guys to come along. But it has been very, very exciting for me to see Jeremy Peña come on this way with, you know, like a OPS in the high 700s. Like seeing that has been great. It's been a validation of all of the trust that they've put in this kid because you knew the defense was there. But you got that taste in the World Series and in that run. And you were like, man, if that could be the case. And it feels like, man, it's materializing to some degree. And shout out to the Astros again, getting a 9-1 victory in Milwaukee with the day off today. They'll be back in action tomorrow. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Thursday. Coming up next, I'm going to use this as like a little social experiment, if you don't mind. Like, what's got your attention right now in the world of sports? You know, there's the NHL playoffs, but Houston doesn't have a hockey team. The NBA playoffs, but the Rockets just got knocked out. I mean, we're just about to get rookie minicamp. What is it? Is it something entirely unrelated from sports? 713-572-4610. What has your attention right now? Let's talk about it next.